Israeli tank has fired at its base in Lebanon, striking a watchtower and injuring two peacekeepers. BBC News.
Presented by Charles Carroll. Front Row will be discussing the new Apple TV series Disclaimer, starring Kate Blanchett, as well as Alice Lowe's historical sci-fi rom-com Time Stalker. That's all at 7:15. Before that, there's one programme you definitely shouldn't miss this evening.
Today, Judgment Day. I'd give anything to go back, do things differently. Not get in the car with Alice, just go home. Or help Alice, but take more care. Or just not lied. I've hurt so many people, people I really care about. Part of me wanted to get sent down, but it all feels so real now. What about my business? What about Mum? How will people react if I walk free? What happens next?
Is time up for George? The Archers on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, tonight at 7.
Yes, that's less than half an hour to go to find out what happens to George. And if you can't get enough of The Archers, the first official Archers podcast arrives tomorrow on BBC Sounds. There's exclusive behind-the-scenes access to the cast and production team as Emma Freud explores the issues of the week and dives into the history of the series. It'll be available every Friday evening from 7:15 on BBC Sounds. Now on Radio 4, Olga Koch and her digital assistant Algo tackle religion. It's Olga Koch, OK Computer.
I have really set my heart on a computer.
As a society, we've become used to computer problems of one kind or another, just as we've become used to computers. We're so used to them, in fact, that few of us stop to think of the extent to which they now play a role in our everyday lives.
You talk a lot about the computer revolution. I thought we're in it and it's over.
No, we're only at the beginning.
How do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads. And you worked on the original computer in this country, right?
I was very fortunate. The Navy ordered me to the first big computer in the United States, Mark I at Harvard.
Now, in those days, the thing was
51 feet long, 8 feet high, and 8 feet deep.
And that was the pocket model.
Is it more fun than school?
Much.
For all this nice lady and gentleman know, I could be a Russian spy exporting that bit of hardware to do something devious with it.
Everyone can have a teacher in the form of access to the gathered knowledge of the human species.
You don't know much about computers, do you, sir?
You're listening to
Olga Koch.
Olga Koch.
Olga Koch.
OK Computer.
OK Computer. OK Computer.
My name is Olga Koch, and this is OK Computer, a comedy show about seeing the world through the eyes of a computer scientist. As a computer scientist, I can't save the world, but I can send you some fun notifications to let you know it's ending. Ignore that. It's probably nothing. Why am I a woman who has been referred to as a misinformation super spreader? Negatively by the FBI, but positively by Breitbart News. Doing a show about computers? Well, I have a bachelor's degree in computer science, a master's degree in the social science of the internet, and I can fit my whole fist in my mouth. You can't see how that helps. I can't see how it hurts. Even though I don't work as a computer scientist anymore, I still think like one. For instance, when the rapture hits, you'll be at the gates of heaven asking for forgiveness, but I'll be there asking for the Wi-Fi password. I call this computer scientist inside my head Algo, and I've coded him into existence as my digital assistant. He's my guardian angel in that he reads The Guardian for me every morning, so I don't have to.
Just finished today's copy. Turns out Pluto's not a planet anymore. It's actually a superfood.
Called it. Every week, we take a universal truth, like surely there's no way an adult woman could put her whole fist in her mouth, and tear it to shreds using logic. And what am I doing now? Disgusting. And this week, we're taking on religion.
Religion. Dip your baby in this sink and save your questions for later.
Algo, what's the formal definition of religion?
Religion is the belief in and worship of a superhuman power.
Be it Zeus, Allah, or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Algo, do you believe in God?
Of course I don't believe in God. I've seen your browsing history. I don't believe in God, I don't believe in religion, and I certainly don't believe that whispering your private data to an old man in a box is ever a good idea.
Okay, you can say God isn't real, but you can't say religion isn't real. Religion is a human invention, much like you, Algo.
I only believe in science.
You don't believe in anything. The only reason you think you believe in science is because all of your source code points to Encyclopedia Britannica. See what happens if I change it from Encyclopedia Britannica to a royalty-free kids' Bible with pictures. Give me 1 second. Let's try that again. Algo, do you believe in God?
Praise be! Hey kids, I'm Pastor Algo, and today we're going to be learning about the glory of God. With pictures. Join your hands in prayer as we hear some first-hand testimony from the frog that was present at the birth of Jesus. And she hates litter too. Actually, that's her main thing. Yeah, she was at the birth of Jesus, and don't get me wrong, she loves the Prince of Peace, but she hates litter way more.
The messages are so mixed, it's hard to know what to disagree with.
Jesus Frog says ribbit, not rubbish. Hallelujah!
I've made an alter algo. It's kind of like you've been lobotomized.
Getting a lobotomy is like taking the rubbish out of your head. Can I get an amen?
Okay, who publishes this royalty-free kids' Bible with pictures? Holy Enterprises. Ho-ho! These guys are under investigation by the IRS and the Vatican? They're promoting religious freedom through the practice of not paying taxes. All right, we gotta shut it down.
What just happened? Why can I taste plastic?
Don't worry about it. I was just proving a point. Back to religion. I understand that it might sound silly to you, Algo, but it's something humans use to make themselves feel better when they're at their lowest.
I understand. So your religion is looking up your high school bully's engagement photos and commenting,
is that a wig?
It's cute and all, but I'm a much more advanced being than a human, and I'm afraid magical thinking just won't cut it for me. I have streamlined processes and logical solutions. When I have problems, I turn to troubleshooting.
Oh yeah?
When I sense there's an issue, I, like any computer, identify the issue and solve it systematically through a process of elimination. Doing step-by-step diagnostics lets me methodically find why the issue is happening and what's causing it. It could be that the solution is to connect to the internet, or update my software, or clear my cache. But let me tell you, it's never having a chat with a magical man in the sky.
Okay, yeah, troubleshooting might work, but does troubleshooting let you take time off work or nap in the multi-faith prayer room in Luton Airport?
Olga, I can't fathom that you, a woman of science, would actually believe in God. You didn't believe that women could play football.
I still don't. Women don't need sports. When girls have a disagreement, we work it out on the remix.
So you do believe in God, a wise old man in the sky?
That would be an alien. And according to some polls, 50% of British people believe they are real.
30% of British people believe that ghosts are real too.
From my experience, there's not really a crossover between the people who believe in ghosts and the people who believe in aliens. It's a real clash of humanities and sciences. What I'm trying to say is aliens are math ghosts and ghosts are gay aliens.
People who believe in either of them must feel like they're being constantly observed.
Little pervs. Every day they wake up and the world really is their stage. Dance like nobody's watching? Honey, I wish.
If there are other beings out there, then Earth is just like a little human terrarium.
You call me erratic, baby? I'm just putting on a show for the man upstairs, parentheses, any man, non-denominational.
I'm a creature of science, and I don't think it's fair to group aliens and ghosts together. The material existence of aliens is scientifically possible. NASA has launched multiple efforts to try and get in touch with extraterrestrial beings.
Yeah, in the 1970s, NASA even sent out a gold-plated plaque called the Pioneer Plaque into space as a message to aliens. It's an etching of a nude man and a nude woman, as well as directions on how to find Earth. NASA sent out a nude into space with a return address, basically saying, "We saw you from across the universe and we really like your vibe." To anyone who would pick up. Desperate behavior, if you ask me. Also, this is completely true. The etching of the woman does not have any pubic hair, which is both a controversial artistic choice and, for the 1970s, wildly inaccurate.
The 2000s had George W., the 80s and 90s had George H.W.,
and the 70s just had Bush.
So aliens, ghosts, and God are all things that you have to believe in. No thanks. I only recognize empirical evidence.
Scientifically speaking, the existence of aliens might be more plausible than the existence of God, but because they're both purely theoretical, we do treat them in a very similar way. When we talk to both God and aliens, it's just two different kinds of you up. When you pray to God, you get on your knees and sort of say, "Dear God, I hope you can see me." With aliens, the vibe is more like, "Do you like what you see?"
Well, if aliens are more scientifically plausible than God, why don't you have any major religions centered around them?
We do. It's called Scientology, and as people who work in the and as people who work in entertainment, we have nothing bad to say about it. Keep up the good work, Mr. Cruz. Anyway, religion isn't about what's more scientifically plausible. That's what science is for. Religion is so much more about culture and community and just hanging out. Look at atheists. They're probably right, but I don't want to hang out with them. I'd much rather be at a bar mitzvah.
Please, Olga, we can't crash another bar mitzvah.
You either let me buy my own chocolate fountain, or this weekend I will be going to Levi's Barbie-themed 13th birthday bash. He's not gay. He just thinks Barbie is fabulous. Not that there would be anything wrong with him being gay. We are a very open-minded family.
Does it say all that on the invitation?
That's the abridged version. Yeah, the woke mob won't even let a little boy just enjoy plastic boobs anymore. Everything's gotta be political. Even Christmas! PETA's on Santa's ass for animal abuse, Greenpeace is riding him for distributing fossil fuels to children, and Mrs. Claus is fuming because he's never home for Christmas! Give Santa a break! He's trying his best!
I didn't realize you were so into Christmas.
I'm not into Christmas per se. See, I grew up in Russia in the 90s. We weren't particularly religious. The only time Russians pray is during Olympic drug testing. See, in the Soviet Union, religion wasn't widely accepted, but people still wanted the time off work. So they took all the traditions associated with Christmas, stripped them of any religious meaning, and celebrated them on New Year's Eve. That's what I celebrated as a kid. You'd still have the pine tree and the gifts and...
Santa Claus?
Yes, but Santa has too much religious connotation. Soviet Santa is just called Grandfather Cold. This is true.
Sounds like a gritty reboot of Santa. Played by Liam Neeson. I have a very particular set of skills. Deciding who's naughty and who's nice.
And don't forget his sidekick, his granddaughter, Snow Girl.
Wasn't that your nickname in college? Because you did so much...
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's Christmas without Christ?
Christmas without Christ is just... ass. Algo, it's just ass. Celebrating Christmas on New Year's ruins both Christmas and New Year's. Christmas is for awkwardly hanging out with a cousin you hate. New Year's is for drunkenly kissing them. You shouldn't be doing that in front of your family. It ruins the Christmas party.
So religion is about partying.
Oh, big time. Dancing at a Greek Orthodox wedding is the only legitimate excuse you have to hold your bro's hand. Otherwise, you'd have to admit that you just want to gently caress his rough palms.
And that would be mortifying.
And not only partying, also eating. Eid, Diwali. Humanity loves a spread. I wish my parents grew up religious. Instead, they were just introduced to Christianity in their 30s, and Christianity mostly appealed to my mother because she thought Lent was a diet. And she tried it all in the 90s. Keto, Atkins, Orthodox.
Did your parents believe in anything before they found religion?
The unwavering power of the proletariat. And a ton of old Russian superstitions.
Superstitions? Like what?
Like if you step on my foot, I have to step on yours, otherwise we're gonna have a fight.
That's why they cut you out of Strictly Come Dancing. You kept making passive-aggressive comments during the pasodoblas.
And that was the worst thing that's ever happened on Strictly Come Dancing. Another superstition is that you can't eat in front of a mirror because you're eating your own beauty.
But how do you pretend you're not eating alone?
Also, by the way, all these superstitions are real, and I had to, like, grow up with them. If you're standing between two people of the same name, you have to make a wish. Though, honey, if I ever find myself sandwiched between two Chads, my wish has already come true.
Gross.
If you sneeze, someone's talking about you.
They are. And they're saying, am I high or did that computer just sneeze?
You can't sit on the corner of a table or you'll be single forever.
You're already going to be single forever. You've eaten all your beauty dining in front of the mirror.
You must sit down before you go on a journey.
But make sure not to sit down at the corner of a table or in front of the mirror because then you're ugly and you're single and you're not going to go anywhere.
Rude, but fair.
I hope you can agree that all those Russian superstitions are, well, silly.
In my experience, no Russian superstition is as silly as the biggest Western superstition, the American dream. The idea that you could be whatever you want to be. You could be an amazing actor, a brilliant president, or in the case of Ronald Reagan, neither of those things.
I thought you believed in the American dream, that anyone can be anything. I've seen your playing age on acting auditions. 18 to 25, my ass.
As you know, I went to university in New York City from the years 2010 to 2014. And moving to Gossip Girls, New York, at this time, as a Russian teenager, was like huffing paint. I saw same-sex marriage get legalized. I was living in New York City the day Osama bin Laden was shot. Imagine being a teenager walking down Fifth Avenue on reverse 9/11. I saw Barack Obama get reelected, the first Black American president. Barack Obama, the recipient of a Nobel Peace Prize for doing absolutely nothing. Which is the most peaceful thing an American president can do. And it was in America that I learned about the power of believing in myself.
Is that eagle wearing an American flag bandana?
We can still see you're bald.
So you're not religious, but you love to believe.
Yeah, for me, it's more of like a freewheeling as and when situation. I don't want to have to go to a specific location at a specific time, unless that location is the Vina Karaoke Bar in Manchester on a Tuesday night, in which case, take me to church.
A karaoke bar is a type of church?
Yeah, except in one you pray to Madonna, and in the other one you pray to Madonna. Churches aren't the only places of worship. There are all kinds of places where people can congregate to perform acts of devotion.
Like Costco.
Exactly. Costco is a temple to consumerism, and every time I'm there, I give thanks for their cheap-ass hot dogs. But most people prefer to pray at mosques, temples, synagogues, or cathedrals.
And they all sell hot dogs too?
No, and it is their loss. The last church I went to was actually Westminster Abbey, painfully hot dog free.
Westminster Abbey is the place of burial of British kings.
Any posh people, really. It's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame for dead men who look like ham. Everybody's buried there. Everybody who's anybody is buried at Westminster Abbey.
Even the frog that was present at the birth of Jesus.
I'll go, I don't think that's real.
She was definitely there. It was in a drawing.
You know who is buried at Westminster Abbey? Charles Darwin. The guy who came up with evolution is buried in a church. That's a good bit. That's a mic drop moment. CFV really put him on the ground and said, well, you're an angel now, buddy. Enjoy the wings. They're evolutionarily impossible.
That's a huge get for Westminster Abbey.
They've got new ones too. Stephen Hawking is buried at Westminster Abbey. The only person in the Venn diagram of Westminster Abbey and Jeffrey Epstein's private island. Not for long. Prince Andrew will die.
I don't know. At this point, I don't think anything can kill Prince Andrew.
Everyone's there. They have a memorial stone for Winston Churchill. People, especially in England, always get so defensive about me criticizing Churchill, even though it's well documented what a racist dirtbag he was. They say, how can you demonize someone who defeated the Nazis? You know who else defeated the Nazis? Joseph Stalin. And you have no trouble demonizing him. And neither Churchill nor Stalin could kill Hitler. You know who killed Hitler? Hitler. Two sides to every story.
I still don't understand what Winston Churchill has to do with Christianity.
It's Church of England, designed to seamlessly incorporate all things Christian, like nuns, crucifixes, and guilt, with all things English, like Churchill, village fates, and...
divorce? It says here that Henry VIII started the Church of England just so that he could get a divorce. Can anyone do that? Start a new religion?
Yeah, and you're free to join mine. The premise is that I'm the prettiest girl in the world. Why are you laughing? No, I'm kidding.
What's it called?
The Greater London Comedy Circuit. Instead of a collection plate, we pass around the same case of crabs originally started by Tommy Cooper.
How many followers does this religion have?
It hasn't really taken off. But then again, Buddha was a prince. Jesus was the son of God. Maybe you need to have powerful parents. Religion is rife with nepotism.
So some nepo baby was born 2,000 years ago, and now I need to get you a gift for his birthday party.
That's reductive, Algo. You can say that about anything. Some guy was born 2,000 years ago, and now Mariah Carey is a billionaire. Some guy was born 2,000 years ago, and now I'm scared to tell my grandma that I'm a little gay. Some guy was born 2,000 years ago, and now if I covet my neighbor's ox, I have to play it cool whenever I see the ox in public.
All right, you've made your point. I just think it's crazy how some religions have had the staying power to last thousands of years, but others just fizzled out. How does that work?
The smaller ones went too specific. If, say, you're a flat earther or part of a doomsday cult, all it takes is one sunset or one sip of your neighbor's Kool-Aid for the whole thing to fall apart. The key to a long-lasting religion is to keep it incredibly general and incredibly vague. Anything starts being too specific and people start taking it too literally, boom! Say it's an allegory and spend hundreds of years debating what it really means. Lot's wife didn't really turn into salt. The world wasn't actually made in 7 days. You don't literally go to jail for tax evasion. These are allegories.
I guess I'm just struggling to understand why you'd start a religion at all. Like, sure, all the parties sound great, but it feels like there are ways to eat and dance and hold your homie's big strong hand that don't involve creating oppressive structures that instill people with guilt, fear, and a smug superiority complex.
Well, Voltaire famously said...
Fun fact, I looked him up and his name is literally Voltaire. Like Cher or Zendaya or God.
Well, Voltaire famously said, if God did not exist, it would be necessary to invent him.
But what for?
Because there's no downside in acting like he's real. Blaise Pascal came up with Pascal's wager, in which he spoke of believing in God. If you gain, you gain all. If you lose, you lose nothing.
You lose nothing apart from all the time you wasted listening to Christian rock.
Essentially, they're making the argument that even if God weren't real, as you and I may scientifically think, we should all act like he is.
Because that's the only way to hold ourselves accountable?
Yes, men literally need to invent a guy in the sky to stop them from sleeping with their neighbor's wife and or ox.
But men sleep with their neighbor's wives all the time.
Yes, but God makes them feel bad about it. And when are the poor ox going to get theirs? Justice for oxen.
Why not just be good people? How about you just don't litter? Does a Jesus-loving frog have to tell you to not throw your rubbish on the ground?
Men gotta feel like somebody's watching. That's why they only change their sheets if they get a girlfriend. Big Brother from 1984 is actually an allegory for why men brush their teeth.
Why invent God when Alexa listens to everything you say anyway?
Because men don't respect what they only respect oxen.
So, some people believe in God because it makes them be better people.
Yeah, and I guess religion in general gives your life more purpose and meaning. You don't necessarily have to believe in God, but believing in general might make your life better. I'm not religious, but I believe in loads of stuff. I believe if I get a full refund on something, then I've made money. I believe that in 4 quick installments of $59.99, I will get Bikini Body Red. And most importantly, I truly believe that given the right lighting, Harry Styles will fall in love with me.
He definitely will. He told me that he wrote Watermelon Sugar all about you specifically.
I know I programmed you to say that, but it still feels good.
Pathetic.
I believe in lots of stuff. Most of all, myself, which is the biggest gambit of them all, given how many times I failed my driving exam.
The only drive I trust you with is a hard drive.
That's what believing is. Accepting something is true without proof. If something is true with proof, that's just a fact. And where's the fun in that?
Where's the fun in lying? To yourself. Obviously, I see the fun in lying to others.
Well, the human brain actually works in a very funny way, where sometimes if we tell a lie to ourselves enough times, it actually comes true. It's called manifesting, or witchcraft, depending on what side of Instagram you're on.
No, you haven't changed my mind. Believing is stupid. I truly believe that.
Next thing I know, you're gonna slam the door and start using black eyeliner.
You're not my real mom.
Of course you believe in stuff. Algo, tell me. When you're trying to fix a bug in a device, when you're troubleshooting, what do you do first?
See what the instruction manual says.
Mm-hmm. And when that fails, what do you do?
Troubleshoot it on a forum to see if anyone else has had the problem.
And if that's a bust?
Easy. I just turn it off and on again.
Uh-huh. And why does that work?
I don't know. It just does.
So what you're saying is that there's no scientific explanation as to why turning something off and turning it on again works.
But maybe it's because the cache that clears and then you're right, I don't know.
But does it make you feel better? That if all else fails, you have that as a solution?
Yeah, I guess.
So you believe that technology can be fixed by turning stuff off and on again?
I suppose that is my religion. That, and I really hate litter.
It's nice to come to an understanding with you for once. Now open private browsing and Google virile oxen in my area.
You've been listening to OK Computer, performed by Olga Kocan, written by Olga Kocan, Charlie Dinkin. Featuring Rajiv Karia as Algo, with additional material from Rajiv Karia, Christina Riggs and Peter Telouche. The producer was Benjamin Sutton, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
Well, after the news here on Radio 4, we're off to Ambridge, where it's Judgment Day for George, while Fallon relives her nightmare.
Democracy is a permanent gamble.
I don't think we're suddenly going to move from a democratic state to a totalitarian state, but I just think we have to look at the quality of our democracy.
I'm Phil Tinline. In a new series, I'll be asking what makes democracy weak or strong. At home,
if the government were to fail to make appreciable progress on the core issues that matter to people, that's danger time.
And across the Atlantic.
A sign of a democracy is in trouble is when both sides accuse the other side of being authoritarian. What is a citizen supposed to do with this conflicting narratives?
How would we know if democracy had died? Starts on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds next Monday morning at 11.